Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Okay, here I am. This feels good. Thank you to those of you, aside from my family, who showed up today, because that would have been very awkward. But I am here. And I feel inclined to tell you the story of my first ever preaching in like a pulpit. I was a student at Hastings College, and I was minoring in Christian ministry. And as a part of one of those classes, we were asked to write a sermon and then to give that sermon in a church to like real live breathing people. And for 20-year-old Kelsey, who maybe didn't make the best decisions in college, this was probably the most terrifying thing in my whole entire life. The entire drive, I can remember, it was this little tiny farm church. I can't even remember the name of the church. It was in the middle of nowhere. But Dr. McCarthy, my professor, drove me out there, and the whole way I was near tears, and I was just saying, "Dr. McCarthy, I can't do this. I can't do this. Who am I to tell these people what to believe and what to think? I cannot do this." And bless him, he tried so hard to comfort me and to calm me down. "You can, in fact, do this." And so I walked up the steps to that tiny little farm church, and those members, they greeted me with open arms. I mean, they were all 10 of them, you know. They were hugging me. They were so sweet to me, and I did it. I got up there, and I talked about Doubting Thomas, and they were just so wonderful to me. And so I'm forever grateful to that group of people, because now I preach to like 5 and 6-year-olds all the time. And so I am basically a professional. Okay, let's talk about this gospel reading this morning. Last week we heard Matt Scher talk about Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem. And Jesus knew that this was going to be tough. Jesus knew that there would be resistance. But Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. And this week in our reading, the time is now. Jesus calls and sends the 70 out into every town that Jesus himself intended to go. Jesus collects all these people, not just a chosen few, not just the really good ones, but this big, inclusive group of people to go ahead of him. And Jesus sends them out in pairs with this kind of strange sense of urgency. I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Don't greet anybody on the road. Can you imagine with me for a second that you are one of those 70 and Jesus just gave that little speech to you? I'm not sure about you, but I might have laughed in his face, much like I did Dr. McCarthy when he told me I would be in the pulpit. Like, that's not a good pump-up speech, Jesus. Right? You're not making me feel super confident about going out and doing this job that you've given me. You want me to just go and not bring anything, head into this weird, strange place and heal people, ignore the resistance and the rejection, and tell people that God is near? I don't know. But what do the 70 do? They go. And not only do they go, but they come back with joy. So much joy that they say, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. And then Jesus has this really wild response, which I picture him, is this going to fall off? I picture him like getting really into it, like, I watched Satan fall from the sky like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you all authority over snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Like, can you imagine that happening every time we did disciple-y things? That's just is a little far out there, I think. So what in the world, how does this story speak to us today? I could spend time talking about how we are the ones being sent, called and sent, and that we're called to face the wolves, proclaiming God's love to all those who will listen, and that is very true. But instead, as I read through this text and as I listened to a very super special pastor podcast that Pastor Heather sent me, a certain repeated phrase in this reading stuck out to me all week. In verse 9, we hear Jesus tell the 70, cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then again in verse 11, when Jesus is talking about the people who will, not might, but who will reject them, he says, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Okay, confirmation time. What was the repeated phrase? Does anybody know? The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. I could not shake that phrase this week when I heard it. Now, a former pastor of this congregation, who shall rename nameless, did a very good job of reminding us all the time, over and over again, that the kingdom of God, when it's mentioned in the Bible, it is not talking about heaven far, far away in some place that we cannot get to. The kingdom of God is not unattainable and out of reach, but the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is the way in which God is at work in the world right here and right now. The kingdom of God is near. But what does the kingdom of God look like? How do we know that it's near? And what does the kingdom of God look like not only for us, but for the thems of society? for the people who feel excluded and unheard and unloved. What does the kingdom of God look like to them? And what does the nearness of God feel like to them? When I, a straight, cisgender, white, middle-class woman, think about the kingdom of God and what it means to live within that full kingdom, I ultimately think about a world where everybody has what they need. A world where my daughter will have the right to make decisions about her own body. I think about a world where my kids can grow up without a massive, heated political divide, a divide strong enough to tear families and friendships apart. I think about a world where my LGBTQIA+ friends aren't afraid to step inside of a church. I think about justice, and I think about peace. What does the kingdom of God look like for you? And what does the kingdom of God look like for all people? For the homeless person, for the trans person, for a widowed person, for a billionaire? What does the kingdom of God look like for all people? If we look back at the Isaiah text I read just a few minutes ago, I think it gives us a great starting point. This text paints the most beautiful image to me of God's nearness, this image of complete comfort and satisfaction of a child at their mother's breast, this image of God as a mother holding us and saying, as a mother comforts her child, I will comfort you too. The nearness of God, comfort, satisfaction, being full, knowing that we are held and loved. What a beautiful picture of God's nearness. So here's my next question for us this morning. What does it mean and what does it look like for us to go out into the world that we live in now and bring about the kingdom of God? How do we share this comforting nearness of God in this broken, hurting, and split world? Like lambs in the midst of wolves. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Especially in these last few months, being a follower of Jesus and trying to find God in all of the hate and hurt and sadness, it feels like being a lamb in the midst of wolves. It seems impossible sometimes to find God's nearness in the world that we are living in. Where do we even start? Well, Jesus has an idea for us. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells his missionaries to go to them, sit, eat, drink, don't go from house to house, but stay where you are. Jesus calls them and us to create community. Don't head out all willy-nilly going from one person to the next, but sit and stay a while. Share a meal. Start meaningful relationships. Listen to each other and actually hear one another with love and grace. It is in this radical hospitality and community that we often feel the nearness of God, when we feel connected, loved, held, heard, and filled. The kingdom of God is near, even when it doesn't feel like it. God is doing kingdom work through people like you and like me when we love, comfort, and hold one another. Sarah, Duncan, and I were on a youth trip a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about how hard it is for that junior high age to recognize and see God at work in their lives. And then as we started talking, we realized that we were adults when we first heard that notion of God showing God's self through people. And God shows up not in these big, flashy ways, but through people like you and like me and like the stranger. God's nearness shows up in community. When we wheel carts full of food out into our parking lot for people who show up to our food pantry a couple times a month, that is God's kingdom coming near. And when our children come up here and sing their hearts out and play their little ukuleles without a care in the world, that is when I feel the nearness of God. When I see old, wrinkled hands and young little hands tying fleece blankets together on Thanksgiving Eve, God is present in those hands. And when our prayer shawl group gathers in the narthex for fellowship and knitting, God works in every stitch so that others might feel comforted by those shawls. When the littles make noise on the playgrounds, or on the playground together, God is near in that laughter. And when that little farm church opened their arms to a terrified 20-year-old college kid who was preaching for her first time, God was speaking through their words of affirmation and welcome. God is near in community, in each other, and in the stranger. In our baptism, we are called to work for justice and peace in all the earth. And through this gospel reading today, we are called to bring near the kingdom of God, to create community, and to let people know that they are held and loved and cherished in a hurting and scary world. This is tough work, like lambs in the midst of wolves. This is hard, exhausting work, especially in the world we live in today. But this is also beautiful, holy work that we are called to do. When we recognize God's nearness around us, when we name it and actually say it out loud, this is God at work, and when we share it with others, that is life-changing and world-changing holy work. The kingdom of God is near. May we see it, may we recognize it, may we have the guts to name it and share it with the world around us so that all may know of God's boundless love. Amen.